I'm really not sure what God has placed on my heart this week, but I know that He's placed a lot of things in my stomach this week. We are 3 days after Thanksgiving. Is there anyone here this morning who is still full? And what does it really mean to be full? So I looked up the word in the dictionary. And it's actually one of those words that has several different meanings. Containing as much as possible, or then some, as I have proved this week. Complete, having all distinguishing characteristics, enjoying all rights and privileges, not lacking in any essential, perfect, being at the highest or the greatest degree, or having an abundance of. We find ourselves in some very troubling and distressful times. Many of us recently have lost loved ones. Many among us have become seriously ill. We look at our own community and we know of people who are struggling financially. We read the local paper and we read about all the recent problems with heroin and other drugs and child abuse and sexual abuse. We watch the nightly news on television and we see all the conflict and the violence across the country. And then we read or hear about the potential for apocalyptic doom, the end of the world as we know it. Whether it be through natural events or ISIS or nuclear disaster. Despite all we read and hear, are we really in any worse position than humans have been throughout history? I would make the claim that we are in no worse of a position than humans have ever been throughout human history. But I would also make the claim that we are in no better of a position. Despite what many who make the claim that human history is about being progressive in the sense of human beings becoming better and better throughout history, that's really not what the Bible says, and it's really not how human history has really played out. In fact, I did a little bit of research this past week. Of the 30 wars in human history that have claimed the most lives, that's in all of human history, out of the top 30, 11 of them, or one-third of them, occurred in one century, the 20th century. Doesn't seem like we're making much progress. And here we are 15 years into the 21st century, and I don't see much progress as well. Actually, the Bible says that humans will continue on the same path we have been on since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Actually, throughout human history, humans have been on the path of decline. That which leads to death and destruction. Fortunately, at one moment in time, God stepped into human history by offering us the gift of eternal life and salvation through His own Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins for all who choose to repent and believe in Him, and then through His resurrection, offering us the opportunity for new life, eternal life, in a new heaven and a new earth when Jesus returns again. That is the story of human history that the Bible tells us about. You see, we enter into this time of year in which we celebrate not what we can do for ourselves, but only what God has chosen to do for us. You see, it really isn't about our stories. It's about the story of God. The question, are we full, has really nothing to do with how full our stomachs are from how much we ate on Thanksgiving. The question has to do with how full are we in response to what God has chosen to do for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Are we thankful? Are we grateful? Are we faithful? Are we merciful? And are we hopeful? Am I thankful? While we spend so much time focusing on all the problems that exist in this world, the violence, the pain, the suffering, the illnesses, and death, we lose sight of that which is good. New life, family and friends, good health for many of us, food on the table, a roof over our heads, clothing to keep us warm, and mostly eternal life for those who repent and believe. Not just our call to worship this morning from Psalm 107, but many of the Psalms are filled with thankfulness to God by God's chosen people during Old Testament times. This was as those people were looking forward. They were giving thanks even before God even sent His only Son, His greatest gift. In that way, it's actually quite fitting that we celebrate Thanksgiving before Christmas each year. And then our scripture this morning from Philippians chapter 4, where Paul, in every single one of his letters, or almost every single one of his letters, both at the beginning and at the end, he gives thanks to God for the people that he's been called to minister to, and he gives thanks to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to God for providing him his new life in Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In every situation, with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety is the theme of the day. Why? Because we focus so much of our attention on the wrong things. We focus so much of our attention on that which is evil, that which is bad, that which our news media gives us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But Paul tells us to focus our attention on other things. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, focus on those things. You see, we're supposed to give thanks to God in all circumstances. For those of us who've been reading through the suggested reading for our missional discipleship groups this past week, we just finished the book of Romans, where Paul tells us that in all circumstances, God works for the good of those who love Him. In this past week, I was reading through some very good articles or devotions about Christians and Thanksgiving by a man by the name of Paul David Tripp, who's a pastor and a Christian writer and speaker who sends out daily devotions. Often I find them quite helpful. But this past week, his devotions asked the questions, how thankful are you and why are you thankful? And then he suggested that at many times, Christians are too thankful for the wrong reasons. And he listed five common things that us Christians might just be too thankful for. This is from his devotion. Perhaps we're too thankful for control. When we can manipulate and organize the people and the circumstances around us, life becomes predictable and safe, and we thank God for his sovereignty. But what happens when life isn't so organized, or life doesn't go as we had planned? Are we no longer thankful for God's sovereignty? Or perhaps we're too thankful for success. When we climb the ladder, or pass the test, or make a great presentation, or earn that sought-after degree, we thank God for the goodness to us. But what happens when we don't succeed? Are we no longer thankful for God's goodness? Or perhaps we're too thankful for success. When we're surrounded by people who love and admire us, and our relationships are going well, we thank God for his love. But what happens when our friends and our families let us down? Are we no longer thankful for God's love? Or perhaps we're too thankful for comfort and pleasure. When life is hassle-free and we're enjoying the pleasures of this created world, we thank God for his blessings. But what happens when those things are removed from our life? Are we no longer thankful for God's blessings? Or perhaps we're too thankful for material things. When we finally can purchase that new car or the nicer home, we thank God for all his gifts. But what happens when he withholds those gifts from us? Are we no longer thankful for God's gifts? You see, it's important that we're thankful for the right reasons and for the right things. Many have settled for a shallow and superficial thankfulness, missing out on the eternal reason to celebrate. Am I thankful in all circumstances? Am I grateful? While thankfulness and gratefulness are very similar and they're often used as synonyms, for my message this morning, I'm defining thankfulness as our verbal expressions of thanks to God for all he's done for us, and gratefulness as those acts expressing our thanks. What do we give back to God? We give back to God the only thing we can give back to God: our time, our talents, our money. This morning, we give to our harvest offering back to God. Unless otherwise specified on your offering envelope this morning, everything we give will be split in half. Half of it is going to go to Mennonite Central Committee and their relief work in helping refugees from Iraq and Syria. And the other half is going to be going to the Western region of Mennonite, the Western Ohio region of Mennonite Disaster Service, as they are trying to raise money for a new tool trailer to respond to emergencies and disasters in our own region. Jesus said, recorded in the Gospel of Luke, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Do I express my gratefulness to God in what I give back to him? My time, my talents, my money. Am I faithful? Faithfulness is more than just belief. Faithfulness is about living out of those beliefs. Jesus said, right after his warning about us putting too much stake in material things, he said, "Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and he knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And then Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And I can just imagine Jesus kind of shaking his head at Peter and the other disciples. And then he answers, who then is the faithful and the wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It is good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. While we are still here on earth, it is harvest time. The Bible says nothing about retirement. As Christians, everything that we do on earth has to do with sharing the love of Jesus Christ and asking ourselves, who might we help to lead to Jesus? Everything else we do here on earth, whether it's even raising our families or our jobs, is really secondary. And I hate to break it to you, but you know that big game yesterday? You know the one that you put on your calendars a year in advance? And the one you got all the food prepared? And the one you got all dressed up for? In God's eyes, it meant absolutely nothing. And I can say that on the day Ohio State won and get away with it. Faithfulness is much more than just belief. Am I being faithful to God? Am I merciful? What is God's greatest characteristic? And I know many people will say love, but I would challenge that by saying love is just all of God's characteristics put into one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I would make the claim that mercy triumphs over all his other characteristics. In Exodus chapter 25, when the Israelites are about to set off for the promised land, they were instructed by God to build the tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle, they were supposed to put the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, they were supposed to put the law, the Ten Commandments. But above the Ark of the Covenant was to be placed the mercy seat. Yes, God has given us his law, that which sets forth how he wants us human beings, especially his people, to live. But we humans have proven throughout human history that none of us are capable of keeping his law perfectly. Mercy has to triumph. And the disciple James tells us exactly that. Mercy triumphs over judgment. But I'm always challenged by all those that say, well, God's love is unconditional. Is God's love really unconditional? What about those that don't put their faith in Jesus Christ? Or he says, even his mercy is conditional. For James also says, for judgment is without mercy the one who has shown no mercy. God promises mercy only to those who are merciful to others. The disciple Peter wrote, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Which leads to our last and most important full. Am I hopeful? We live in a culture today which is mostly driven by fear. All you need to do is watch CNN's The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and all the fear-mongering. And interestingly, we live in what is still today probably one of the safest nations in the world. But we are probably one of the most fearful people. Why is that? We're afraid our children are going to catch germs. We're afraid our terrorists are going to come to our own community. And we're afraid that the world is going to come to an end. Well, Jesus said, the world as we know it today is going to come to an end. And Jesus said, there will be signs. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. When these things happen to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Paul writes towards the end of Romans chapter 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians, do not grieve as others who have no hope. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. It is quite possible that the earth's history as we know it will come to an end soon. It might be 2 hours, it might be 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades, 2 centuries. Or for Paul and the others who thought it was very imminent, 2,000 years. It's not how long before Jesus comes, which is important. It's the promise that He's going to return and make things new again. And are we prepared for it? Are our eyes fixed on the eternal prize? We enter into this very special time of year in which we celebrate Jesus' first coming, otherwise known as Christmas, which is really all about preparation for His second coming. Are you thankful? Are you grateful? Are you faithful? Are you merciful? And are you hopeful? Are you full? Let us pray. Lord God, we come to You this morning as we enter into this very special time of year in which we remember what You have done for us. That in the stories of all our lives is the one big story of You and what You have done for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We remember, most of all, the gift of salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to You this morning confessing that we are often full of all the wrong things, often full of ourselves, full of things that have no lasting significance whatsoever. Help us to become more full of those things that give you glory and honor. Especially during this season, may we become grateful, faithful, merciful, hopeful, and joyful, all because we are thankful for you and your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.